您正在收听深夜网络行销广播，网络创业一日一小步。
Episode 40. You can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
Listening to the MasonWorld.com Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast with your host, Mark Mason, building internet businesses one night at a time.
Hey, how cool is that? It's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm still in Hsinchu, Taiwan. And that was the concierge at the hotel that I'm staying at. Big shout out to her. One of the great things about nice hotels is the concierge will almost always do anything for you, which is really cool. She spent some time trying to translate the podcast bumper into Mandarin for me so that I could speak it myself. There was no chance of that, so I just used her voice. I hope she's cool with that. But in any case, what she was supposed to say is, this is the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast with Mark Mason, building internet businesses one night at a time. Hopefully she got pretty close. If you speak Mandarin, I'd love to know whether or not you thought that was right or not. A lot of my listeners are in Asia Pacific, particularly China and Taiwan. You know, a two-digit percentage of my listeners speak Mandarin. So shout out to you. Ni hao. If you're a Mandarin speaker, I really appreciate you, and I hope that you enjoyed my attempt at honoring you with a Chinese Mandarin podcast bumper. Maybe when I go through Hong Kong, I'll find someone who can do it in another dialect of Chinese. But in any case, thanks so much. Got a lot of stuff for you today. I'm about to get back on the airplane and head to Singapore. Looking forward to that. I really like Singapore. Had a great time here in Taiwan, and Singapore is always fun as well. Lots of good food there. There's a dumpling place, Chinese dumpling, dim sum dumpling place that is just awesome that we're going to tomorrow night. So I'm fired up about that. It's about a 4 or 5 hour flight from Taiwan to Singapore, I'm thinking, if I'm remembering the itinerary right. And it's like I said, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I've got to leave the hotel at 6 to catch my flight. So today we've got a couple of things. I wanted to give a shout out to some iTunes reviews. I had lost track of that a little bit. I try to read each and every review, and we're up to 46 five-star ratings on iTunes. Thank you so much. And I was looking at the podcast stats. How cool is this? We have a listener from Iceland. I don't know if they're a listener, but they downloaded the podcast once, so I'm going to count that. We've been downloaded in 103 countries. Very cool. The podcast is going growing quickly, and it's all thanks to you and the nice things that you say about me and the podcast. And man, I really appreciate it. You know, people ask me why I do this, and to be honest with you, one of the reasons I do it is just the great feedback I get from people. They say the nicest things, and I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. So there are a couple of reviews on iTunes. A shout out to B-Droid, who says he's hooked on the podcast. He heard Mason World through another internet marketing podcast. 9 times out of 10, that's code for Pat Flynn. And he's going through the episodes from the very beginning. This is an honest and encouraging account on what it takes to work on internet marketing part-time. Keep up the good work, Mark. Man, I love that, because that's exactly what the show is supposed to be. So that kind of review tells me that I'm hitting the target market at least a little bit. Another review from 8-Track Lover. I just love that because I'm old enough to know what an 8-Track is. 8-Track Lover says, I really connect with the way he puts out his information. He's incredibly willing to share his knowledge and is accessible to listeners. This is a podcast done correctly. So, hey, thank you for those reviews. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to go over and leave a 5-star review in iTunes. I read them all. It means a lot to me. Thank you very much. And I just couldn't be happier with the fact that we have an amazing 46 5-star ratings over on iTunes. That's just awesome. Thank you so much. Now, I had some feedback. You guys remember I got together with my listeners. I've been thinking about doing that again here, the local listenership in Dallas. You know, there's a handful, and it was fun. And I just got some voicemail feedback from one of them a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to play you that as well, just as a shout-out to this guy. He is actually got an affiliate marketing website. He's made his first money. He wants to grow it. He's got the right attitude. I really enjoyed the conversation with Sean. He's into mountain biking, and his website is about that. So let's hear what Sean has to say about the meeting and the show.
Hey, Mark, this is Sean McAfee with Texas Mountain Bike Trails. I just wanted to say how much I really enjoyed meeting up with you that night in Allen at the Londoner Pub. It was a great time of learning, I thought, for everyone that attended. We had a great time, you know, and yeah, the Belgian beer was terrific. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, hey, Sean, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your feedback. We'll do it again, man. It was a great time. Love your site at texasmountainbiketrails.com. Want to encourage everybody to get over there and take a look at that. I really like the way it's done. It's a nice, clean look with a cool logo. I love the Texas star with the kind of mountains in the background. Very nice. And anyway, go check it out, texasmountainbiketrails.com. Thanks, Sean.
Well, as you guys know, I spend some time in forums, because one of the things I like to do is try and help people, and I try to hang out in places where I know the forum owner and am generally on board with what they're doing. One such place is Internet Business Mastery Academy over at masonworld.com/IBMA. And I was over there, and one of the guys over there was asking a question that I answered in the forum that I thought I would share with you here. He wanted to know, this is a question that comes up all the time. He wants to start outsourcing, and he has a business idea. And his question is, how does he protect it during development? He's going to use a firm to make a product, and what does he do? So the first thing I want to say is I'm not an attorney, so I'm not giving you legal advice. But I have some thoughts about this because I do outsourcing and have some experience with this kind of feeling. You feel like you've got this great idea, you've spent a lot of time thinking it through, it's unique in some ways, after all it's your idea, and the last thing you want to do is have somebody steal this idea out from under you. And so the fear that people have is that they're going to outsource this idea overseas or wherever, and the coders that they outsource it to are going to steal it from them and sell the idea on their own. So a couple of things about this. One is, my honest feeling is that ideas by themselves really aren't worth very much in this kind of market. Now, don't get me wrong, great ideas are critical to business, but just the idea, lots of people have great ideas. In fact, you never hear about most great ideas because you've got this other problem, which is part two of this, which is the thing that's really valuable is execution of a great idea. And in fact, your idea doesn't even have to be great. If you've got the execution piece, I'd say that's way more important than the idea piece. In fact, a lot of businesses have been built on seeing someone else's idea and executing it better than them. And so that gets back to this question, which is, what if somebody steals my idea? And yeah, I'm sure there are cases where your idea is so unique and no one's thought of it, and once someone else thinks of it, you're in real danger of getting it stolen. Sure, I get that. But in most cases, you're talking about a website or some other kind of online business that is going to require marketing and execution to make it run, and just the idea itself is not going to actually go viral. And so in those cases, I think the risk that you're really talking about is actually quite a bit smaller than what you think. But here's a couple of ways that you can mitigate that risk. The first thing is, of course, do business with people that you can trust. Now, if you haven't been doing a lot of outsourcing, it might be hard to know who you can trust. And I would say one way to get a sense of whether or not you can trust someone is by looking at the reviews on Odesk or wherever you happen to be working. So if you are working with an overseas person through Odesk, don't pick the guy with 1 2-star review to do your job. If you're worried about this, go with somebody that has lots of good reviews, because if they're in the business of stealing people's ideas, they're not going to have good reviews. Now, you could be the first time they ever stole anything. I get that. But chances are, if you've got a guy who's got a business built around his reputation online, he's going to be okay. So that's one way you can mitigate the risk of having your idea stolen. The second thing I would say is ask for references from clients. If they don't have any, probably not the guy for you. And if they're unwilling to give them, also probably not the guy for you. But if you can get references from clients, you can just ask those clients directly, hey, my idea is kind of sensitive. Do you feel like you could trust these guys with sensitive ideas? And you can get a sense of how much risk you're taking. This is really, most things in business, and this included, are really more about mitigating risk than they are eliminating the possibility of something happening. So that's what I'd say. The third thing I would say you can do, in addition to getting references and using people with good reviews and a track record, is you can ask for a non-disclosure agreement. Now, again, I'm not an attorney, but I will tell you that a non-disclosure agreement, enforcing one overseas, especially the kind you're going to want to afford to create on a startup, is going to be almost impossible. That's my opinion. Again, I'm not an attorney and I'm not an overseas attorney, but you're not going to go sue some, you know, developer in a hut over in the Philippines because he stole your idea. I mean, maybe you will, but you're not going to get anything. The guy doesn't have any assets in any case. So I would say that the good thing about an NDA could be that it might scare off someone who was casually stealing your idea, that might fear this kind of repercussion, even though it's not really practical from your side to go suing these people. And it will communicate very clearly what your expectations are. And that's the fourth thing that I would say is very important. Clearly communicate your expectations. Make sure that the party that you're dealing with understands that you believe the idea is sensitive. Make sure they know that you're only willing to work with them if they're willing to assure you that their idea is safe. And so, you know, they can lie to you, sure, but at least you've clearly communicated your expectations that this idea is important to you and you don't expect them to share it. A lot of times that's enough. A lot of leaks of confidential information are inadvertent. So if your expectations are clearly articulated, then that can help a lot as far as this kind of thing is going. So bottom line, you can't guarantee that someone's not going to steal your idea, but there's four steps you can use to kind of help mitigate the risk of something bad happening. Hey, well, the sound of that jet airplane means that I'm no longer in Taiwan. I'm now in Singapore. I've been walking around. My daughter is a big fan of the O School Dance Studio, so I went over to the O School and got her a t-shirt. So shout out to the O School. They're pretty awesome. There's a jazz dancer there named Freddie that my daughter thinks hung the moon, at least from a dance perspective. So, yeah, I went over there. Unfortunately, Freddie's in Russia this week, so didn't get to see Freddie. But I wanted to handle a couple of pieces of listener feedback here in Singapore. And by the way, I know the audio quality's not quite up to standard when I'm in hotel rooms. I apologize for the little pee-popping in the first segment and some of the background noise. There's construction outside the hotel. It's kind of crazy, but thanks for bearing with me while I'm on the road. First piece of feedback was, I got a really cool request that I didn't have many good answers for, so I'm hoping you guys can help me out, from a reader named Laws, L-O-Z, Laws. Laws has a new website over at Things My Kids Ask Me. This is a great idea for a website. You got to go check it out. Things My Kids Ask Me. And the idea is Laws is collecting up all the kinds of questions, crazy questions that kids ask that are really hard to explain with kid-sized answers. And he's blogging about that. I think it's an awesome idea for a website. And it's really well put together. He just launched it last week. And it looks awesome. So shout out to Laws. Laws asked me to send him some questions that my kids asked me, and I couldn't come up with any good ones. I gotta think about it. I know when I was a kid, the question that I always used to ask my dad
was how do light bulbs work? And miraculously, I became an electrical engineer. You know, when I was a kid, light bulbs were incandescent. Now they're LED light bulbs and compact fluorescents and all this other stuff. But how do light bulbs work, Laws? That's one for you. Anyway, so that's some feedback from Laws. I really appreciate hearing from him. And definitely go check that out. And when you meet Laws over there at Things My Kids Ask Me, be sure and tell him you heard about him on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. So the other piece of feedback that I wanted to get to while I'm on the road here is I got an excellent ticket that came in from John Manning. John is about to go to Costa Rica, which is really cool, and he's going to become certified to be an English teacher to non-native speakers in Costa Rica. So I think there's no higher calling than teaching. That's my first thought about that. And my wife was a teacher for 13 years. She taught fourth graders. And I like to think I do a little teaching on this podcast. I think teaching is awesome. And he's been tinkering around with a website for his mom's jewelry store, but he's about to start a travel blog to kind of chronicle his efforts in Costa Rica and to be, I think, a help to other people who want to go take teaching assignments overseas. And he's got this awesome domain name, offtoteach.com. And it's in the initial stages. He hasn't really launched it yet. But he contacted me for a couple of things. And the first thing was he's kind of new to blogging and wanted to know what plugins he should use. Now, I should probably do a whole website on WordPress plugins, but there are definitely a few plugins that I would say you should get started with. Now, first of all, say that John is building his site on the Thesis theme. That's definitely the theme that I recommend that you use. I think you're okay if you're using Genesis. I think that's another good choice. If you want to use Thesis, you can find that that theme at masonworld.com/thesis. And of course, if you buy through that link, it's an affiliate link and it helps support the show. But you don't have to do that, and you don't have to use a premium theme. I like Thesis, and we've discussed that a little bit before. So that's a great start for John. And the plugins that I told John were the ones that I'd recommend for getting started would be Jetpack, which is a WordPress related plugin related to the WordPress.org guys. They're somehow involved in the creation of Jetpack. And the thing that gets you is WordPress statistics. You can register your blog at WordPress.com and it'll track your blog statistics. And if you've seen me publish statistics from the Corn Sheller site, that's where those statistics are coming from. They're coming from Jetpack. Jetpack is also the way you get access to Akismet now, which is a spam fighting plugin. So I definitely recommend Jetpack. Of course, you've heard me recommend the Yoast WordPress SEO plugin. I don't recommend that you mess around with any other plugin. I know some of you out there are using the all-in-one SEO plugin. I guess that's fine. I haven't looked at that in a long time since I started using Yoast's stuff. I definitely recommend Yoast. I use Sharebar Social, the free plugin for the sliding share bar that can go up and down the left-hand side. Actually, it can go anywhere that you put it. I recommend that. And for performance reasons, especially if you're on shared hosting where you may be up against other people on your server that have, you know, that are taking a lot of server bandwidth, I recommend the W3 Total Cache plugin for performance. That will lighten the load on your server and help your site be more responsive no matter what kind of server you're using. It's a little bit hard to configure, but the basic configuration is relatively straightforward. I'm sure you can handle it. And then I like yet another related posts plugin. And that's an important plugin because you want to get links. You want Google to be able to easily find links to and from other posts in your site. This is called internal linking structure. And yet another related post plugin helps to link things that are contextually related together. It reminds me of a trick that I was reminded of. You know, I told you guys last week about the SEO podcast that I found, and they had mentioned a trick that I don't know, think I've ever mentioned to you guys. So another shout out to the SEO podcast guys. If you've got a page, a new page that you want to rank, one of the tricks that you can use, and this is a trick that I've used, is to put contextual links to that page in your site on pages that are already ranking well. Pages that are already ranking well in your site, by definition, have link juice. And so if you link to a new page from those pages, to a page in that in your site, a new page that you're trying to rank, you'll pass some of that link juice to that new page, and that can help you rank that page quickly. That's a great tip, and that comes from my new friends who I haven't met yet over at the SEO podcast. As they would say on their podcast, I think they say smash in a face in the face to you or something like that. Those guys are nuts. Anyway, so that's my recommendations on plugins. I wanted to talk a little bit about John's site. I really like this idea for a site for lots of reasons. I think that, you know, John has ideas around basically how he can use the site to chronicle his journey. And he even tells me, hey, I'm not really doing this for the money, but, you know, if it can be monetized, that'd be great. But his instinct is to create something that's valuable to other people, and I just love that. And even thinks about maybe creating a forum that other expat or, you know, teachers traveling around the world teaching English could use and talk on and discuss issues that they're having in their host country and so forth. I think that's great. I could definitely see an ebook or two from a site like this that prospective teachers could buy. You could definitely run a podcast out of a site like this if you were so inclined. I mean, there's just lots of things you could imagine doing with a site like this that could be a help to a lot of people. You know, as far as what the overall, you know, maximum earning potential of a site like this is, I don't know, because I haven't done the work to see how many people are searching for this kind of information on the internet and what the competition looks like. That's definitely something that I would try to figure out, is when people search for this kind of information, what search terms do they use? For example, is teaching abroad a search term that they use? So one, you know, quick test, if maybe there are lots of keywords, but the one that I came up with just on the top of my head here is teaching abroad. If teaching abroad is your keyword, at least when I'm searching here in Singapore, there are a ton of AdSense ads. So you need to check this in the United States. I don't have an easy way to do that from the hotel here. If there are Google ads, as I've mentioned before, in the Google search results, that means that people are actually paying for those ads. And when people have money to pay for ads, that means they're making money in that niche. And it's, you know, every advertisers are everybody from the Peace Corps to people that are looking for teachers. And so I think at the very minimum, you could monetize a blog like this with AdSense, and there's probably pay-per-lead programs and other things that you might consider, and an ebook, and all of a sudden, you know, you put together a website, you work on it, you make it real, you put effort into it, and you're making a little money on the side, but you're in Costa Rica, which is a cheap place to live, it's not going to take a lot of money, and you're making money teaching, and that's looking like a pretty sweet deal. So I think this is a great idea, John. Keep me posted. Let me know what's going on. Let me know how I can help you. I love this idea, and good luck to you, man, and teach some people how to speak English. Hey, it occurred to me that there are days when I could use an English speaking lesson or two. Okay, so the last thing that I wanted to cover quickly was the new tool that Google rolled out this week that people are calling the Disavow Links tool. It sounds like something Ethan Hunt would use in a in a Mission Impossible movie starring Tom Cruise, but actually this is a real tool, and what it's for is if you get yourself in a situation where you have spammy links pointing to your site, these are links from questionable sources that you almost certainly got in an effort to improve your page rank, and you have Google has identified those and perhaps is penalizing your site because you have those links pointing to you. After you try to get the person who created those links to remove them, the offending sites to remove those links back to your site, if you're unsuccessful, now you have the option to notify Google that you want those links, you want to disavow those links, you don't want them to count them. And essentially, Google has said that the only time you ever need to use this tool is if you've been notified in Webmaster Tools that you have unnatural links pointing to your site, and you've tried to get the source of those links to remove them, and you've been unsuccessful. So that's the only time. So if you don't have that message and you haven't been through all that, then you don't need to worry about this right now. This is interesting because Google is in a constant battle to fight web spam. And this is people like us, internet marketers, who pay money to try and rank better and do so by creating spammy links into websites that we want to rank. So in order to fight this, what they've been doing is trying to detect those, and they're starting to apparently penalize sites who have spammy links coming into them. They send you a notice in Webmaster Tools and say, hey, you've got unnatural links, knock it off. And you know, typically what they want you to do is go and try and remove the source of those links. So if that means that you bought links from somebody, you want to go get the source of those removed. Go back to the person you bought them from and have them removed. Sometimes you can't do that, and sometimes you didn't create the links in the first place. There's lots of reasons that you might have a hard time getting links removed. Maybe it's not even your fault. And so Google has given you a way now to list the links that you've identified as spammy and want removed from Google's consideration and upload that list to Google. This allows lots of things, but one of the interesting things that it allows is for data for Google to collect a ton of data on spammy sources of spammy links, and I'm sure they're going to upload all these files and cross-reference them and Pareto out the spammiest links on spammiest sites on the internet and immediately start discounting links coming from those sites. So this is a great data mining activity for Google, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was the main reason for launching this disavow links tool. In any case, as I say, you don't need to worry about this. I'll have more information on this next week. This is kind of fresh. Lots of buzz about it right now. But fundamentally, just know that Google's going to do everything they can to make it so that paying money does not to create spam is not a way to increase your ranking. And this is one tool to do that. And remember, if you haven't gotten a notice in Google Webmaster Tools, there's nothing to worry about. All right, well, I'm out. I'm headed to the dim sum restaurant that I mentioned earlier. I was in another country when I mentioned that, but yeah, it's a dim sum restaurant, and I think it's called Yum Chow or Yum Chow, something like that. Anyway, I'm headed off to do that, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. My next episode will be out on the 25th, I think, of October, and I'll be doing that from the good old United States of America, and I look forward to talking to you then. Until then, peace out, and thanks for listening to the show.
Well, hey, you know what that sound means? Another show in the can. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. I really appreciate it, and always remember what I always remember, which is what Zig Ziglar had to say. You can get everything in life that you want by getting other people what they want.
Thank you for listening to the Mason World Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Got some thoughts about today's episode? Drop Mark a line at masonworld.com or call his digital feedback line at 214-444-8655. Most of all, have an awesome day.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start.
where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
Okay, so now I'm back from the dim sum place. Oh my gosh, it was awesome. We had a bunch of dim sum and a few tiger beers, and it was unbelievable. I'll post a couple of pictures to the show notes and let you see what that looks like. But man, that was just amazing. I love traveling because it leads to eating. Have a good one.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.